Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Body of Christ Church, and you are listening to our program, From Darkness to Light, where we examine and reprove spiritual wickedness in today's world, as well as providing instructions on repentance for those overtaken in the sins of witchcraft and occult practices. Join us each week on our mission to fulfill the words written in the book of Acts, chapter 26, verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me.
Terrible thing to waste. Hypnotist and mentalist. From darkness to light. The world of the hypnotist and mentalist is no longer limited to a Las Vegas stage act or reality TV shows. This age-old mystical phenomenon is now more mainstream than ever. The internet is full of how-to videos, and there are even computer programs for self-hypnosis. In a world where people have far more vices than virtues, many people believe they can be free of their burdens by simply lying on the couch of their hypnotist. If this sounds too far-fetched for you, then maybe you refer to your hypnotist by another name, such as bishop or deacon. It is no longer a secret that many religious leaders are notorious for using the very same techniques employed by hypnotists and mentalists to maintain a powerful hold over their flock. Even now, at this very moment, you may currently be enthralled to a satanically inspired madman who is well versed in these ancient arts. Join us today for another edition From Darkness to Light as we use the Word of God to free the corrupt mind of man. I'd like to welcome you to another edition from Darkness to Light, where we expose the darkness by using the light of Christ and the scriptures to bring forth the truth. I'm your brother, the Die One, here in London in the UK, one of the centers of witchcraft, Stonehenge, and those different places. We have our resident expert, used to be a witch medium, many other names, but we all know is all in line and using the power of Satan. But now he is a servant of the light. I give you the brother Akrai.
Shalom to all the listeners, and we pray that this program gives edification to everyone that hears. This is one of those shows that can easily fly below the radar because people don't really think about hypnotism and mysticism when they think about the dark arts. The reason why people don't think about it is because it's so mainstream that it's something that people are telling you, okay, well, you can practice self-hypnosis. There's how-to books on it, like the introduction says. Most people have probably tried it themselves. Most people have probably tried it through meditation. Most people have probably tried it or at least seen it done to other people. You've seen it done on talk shows where people are groups of people have gone through mass hypnosis, and all of the reality shows where you see it happening as well. But the reason why it's such an important topic for us, well, mainly for myself and the brother, the guy one, is because we have encountered it personally in our own lives. And so we have a pretty good understanding of what type of influence it can have on other people. Mm-hmm. And even from the time I spent in the world and as a servant of sin instead of a servant of the Most High, that was one of the sins that I probably engaged in quite a bit, was using that power of the mind to really, really influence, dominate, and in some terms, even control weaker people. And when I say weaker people, I'm not speaking in terms of weaker according to this world, because many of them might have been considered powerful or popular in the world. But in truth, they had many vices that made them vulnerable. They may have been drug users, they may have been heavy drinkers, or they may have had many other vices that made them very vulnerable to mental suggestion. And as we already know, there are so many people in this world right now who are caught up in so many of those very same vices that they are very, very susceptible to being influenced by people who have been trained in this art and by people who are practiced in it and are aware of the shortcomings of the people around them. Mm-hmm. So it's a really, really unscrupulously evil thing, and this show is really dedicated just to bringing out just how evil it is, just how prevalent it is, and how a lot of the people who you may be looking to as leaders in this world, or a lot of people who you may even be looking to as spiritual leaders in this world, they're all practicing that same age-old doctrine of hypnotism and mesmerism, and they're using their congregation as guinea pigs. But before we even go into that stage of it, the first thing we want to do is deal with the hypnotism and mesmerism in the mainstream. And there's even a product on the market, which I think you're familiar with, Kadai One. Mm. The product called MindMaster.
Yep. Very familiar, very popular.
And what this product does is you hook it up on your computer, and it flashes subliminal messages on your screen. So you may be writing a term paper or handling some work for your job or writing an email or whatever it is that you're doing, but all the while subliminal messages are flashing on your screen. And the reason why people are doing this to themselves is because they believe that by doing this, they can reprogram their mind into being the type of person that they want to be. So right. for the first clip of the day, let's just play the commercial for that particular product.
Okay. Which one is it?
The repentance versus mind control.
Okay. There you go. Repentance versus mind control. Here we go.
Eliminate other bad habits only to fail. Have you tried to stop smoking, lose weight, or eliminate other bad habits only to fail? The truth is that your subconscious mind could be sabotaging your life. Now you can quickly and easily reprogram your mind using personalized subliminal affirmations and images that flash on your PC while you're using it. Sound too good to be true? Think again. This proven technology is so powerful that the U.S. and British governments do not allow TV advertisers to use it without your knowledge. But it is completely safe and effective for personal use. Gain confidence. Reduce pain and stress. Increase wealth. Achieve goals. Over 100 ways to see real results fast. Now you can try MindMaster for only $1. Log on to www.mindmaster.tv today and experience powerful changes in your behavior and mindset. Subliminal technology is scientifically proven in over 60 studies, including studies at University College of London and other major universities, and is used by millions worldwide. MindMaster is so powerful that medical doctors, top personal development coaches, therapists, and natural healers are using it themselves and recommending it. Watch our demo and see why people around the world are calling MindMaster one of the world's most powerful personal development programs. Log on now and receive three MP3 subliminal audio downloads. Each is 45 minutes long and includes rapid weight loss, millionaire mindset, and the law of attraction, which you may have heard about in The Secret. Also, get 30 best-selling success ebooks. All are yours free to keep when you try MindMaster for only $1. But you must log on now. This is a limited time offer. With MindMaster, you have the potential to change your life forever. Master your future with MindMaster.
It changed my life. You'll become a believer.
It works. It truly works.
I can't say that anything has helped me as much as MindMaster has helped me. I think it works. I've seen results.
MindMaster is number one, and it always will be.
Wowee.
Strong statements.
So here it is. MindMaster has helped me more than anything else has ever helped me. And we just look at that because that was the commercial for this product. Now, you look at this product where people are basically saying, okay, I'm going to feed myself with subliminal messages so I can eliminate the vices in my life. It's people that's on drugs, people that can't control their eating, people that can't do a lot of things successfully. But what you have to understand is that when you look at the scriptures, there is no quick fix when it comes to ridding yourself and purging your mind of all of the sins and iniquities in it. The quick fix that we know is repentance. But when you look at repentance, repentance is an ongoing process. It's not an overnight. It's not a magic trick. It's not a wave of magic wand. It's not looking at a pendulum swinging back and forth. It's not listening to videotapes and audio tapes while you're sleeping. It's an action. When you go to the book of Luke, chapter 13, and I'll read from Luke 13, verse 23 to 25. And this is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and I shut the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not from whence ye are. So when you look at how raw that statement is, and the Lord is basically saying, strive to enter the straight gate, you know what strive means what?
You fight.
Yeah, strive means you're fighting. You're trying hard. And that's what it is when you're dealing with repentance. You in a fight for your life. You struggling and fighting and clawing and raking for every inch you can get along the way. Because it's warfare. Because that's how powerful the hold of sin is on us. That's the reason why the scriptures speak about the truth making us free. The Lord is making us free with the words of this Bible. So repentance to us is an ongoing thing. It's a daily thing. It's not something that somebody's going to listen to a 45-minute tape. It's not like somebody's going to tell you to put a program on your computer, and all of a sudden, over time, you're just going to turn around just and be a better person because you listen to these things. And you got people giving these testimonials, nothing has helped me as much as this, nothing has helped me out of this. But that's what it, but that's madness.
Can I read the scripture?
Sure, go ahead.
This is 1 Peter 2, verse 1, because a lot of people think it's going to be a quick fix. Even myself, years ago, you know, I saw the same thing. Mind master on a computer, I'm looking, you know, I'm dealing with computers, not laborious work that I'm doing. So it's not much exercise that I'm getting. So I'm overweight, like, yo, I'm going to deal with this fitness thing, man. I just look at be at the computer. I'm at the computer all day, and I could just look at the computer. This is what I do all day, man. I could do some things. And I was like, wait a minute. Nah, that don't sound right. So I'm comparing what they were saying versus the scriptures, and it was like, no, that ain't right. So what did I have to do? I had to get off my behind and do some damn exercises and tell my wife not to give me so much food or give me some different food, and now I lost some weight. You know, it was just that simple, you know. And I did send them my prayers to the Lord. I needed to be healthy, a healthy lifestyle, and the Most High helped me. You know, I found a program, and, you know, it was free, and it was online, show you the exercises to do and everything. But I'm going to read this scripture because people think that, you know, you dealing with the scriptures, that it's not a procedure or process. They're looking for something carnal. But it is a procedure, and it is a process that you go through when you're dealing with the scriptures. But a lot of people, they don't like what they see, what the Lord says that they have to do. This is 1 Peter 2, verse 1. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So it's not happening overnight. And before you can come to that stage as being new, there were certain things that you had to put aside. See, with these new minds, it's not telling you to put aside or correct what things are bad. It's saying, okay, we're going to help you to do these things. It's not fixing everything. The scriptures is fixing everything about you. It's not fixing just one thing. It's getting rid of everything. Whether you think it's bad or not, the Lord knows what's bad and what's good for you. And that's where a lot of people go wrong in with these different satanic doctrines that they're dealing with. Oh, you can do whatever you want to do. You want to be better. You want to be sexier. And another thing that you may not know about Akira, or you may do, is that a lot of people are on to this sexual hypnotism, where you can hypnotize your wife or hypnotize women to orgasm on command and stuff like that. You know, it's crazy. It's really growing to, you know, exponential rates where people are into hypnotism for all kinds of reasons.
Oh, I just love how you just naturally assumed that was the one thing I didn't know about.
That's an inside joke. Everyone that knows us probably know what we're talking about.
But you're absolutely right. The same way, I think you might remember even in the show that we did in the past, one of the more successful ones, which was The Subtle Evil of Astrology, there was even a section where we talked about how people were into sexual astrology. So you know, Godwin, that any type of wickedness, magic, sin, or anything that's dealing with the left-hand side of the occult, there has to be an element dealing with sex. So that was going to be a part of it. Yeah. But the point that you brought out was correct about how the Most High does, and repentance, that's the end all be all when it comes to fixes, and it fixes the whole person. So when you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to read verse 16 through 18, and it says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. One of the reasons why I like that scripture, because it goes hand in hand with what you were bringing out. A lot of times when we receive bad in our life, or what we perceive to be bad, you might lose your job, you might have problems with your health, there might be a lot of things going on, and immediately we go into this mode where we lose our mind, we start losing our faith. Once we lose our faith, we start losing our patience in the Lord and start looking for answers on our own. But the point that you were bringing out was that even in the bad times, there's still things that the Most High is bringing either to test you, either to purge you, or a lot of times just to make you a stronger and more experienced person. You know? And when you look at what he was bringing out about that light affliction, even all of those afflictions that we go through, those are light things. But what happens is people, once they see the hardships, they start losing faith. Or they start losing faith in what the scriptures say. And they say, okay, well, I'm going to take it upon myself to change it for myself. So it's interesting that one of the discs out of the series that they were pushing, and they just so proudly say it, and also the law of attraction, which you may have been familiar with from The Secret. And I don't care how many shows we do, we just cannot escape the law of attraction. Mm. It's always popping up everywhere we turn, the affirmations, this, that, and the other, because even like they said in the commercial about you controlling your destiny, controlling your environment, controlling the world around you, because anybody that knows that anything about the left-hand side of the occult, that's pretty much witchcraft 101. Witchcraft 101 is basically that the Heavenly Father, Christ, whether they exist or not is irrelevant, because they're not the ones who are in charge of your destiny. You are. And the way you become the master of your destiny is really through the strength of your own will. And that's really where it starts, and it moves on from there. That's why they stay with the constant affirmations. As a matter of fact, we have a short clip for the law of attraction on one of the affirmations that is actually used when they do their affirmations.
I have a healthy spirit, mind, and body. 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 I have a healthy spirit, mind, and body.
I think I let that play too long.
Yeah.
I feel healthier already. But the whole point being is that when you look at the whole vanity of it all, one of the things that we know from being servants of the Most High in Christ, and that is that the Most High is the one that blesses us with long life. The Most High through Christ is the one that blesses us with our health. The scriptures tell us that nothing is so valuable as a sound body and a sound mind. So when you hear things like that, I just wonder, okay, well, who are you talking to? Because you're convincing yourself that, oh, I have this. I have a healthy mind, spirit, and body. Well, guess what? If you are serving a sin and you're practicing all of these different type of age-old enchantments, which the Bible strictly forbids, then you do not have a healthy spirit or mind, regardless of what your body looks like. Regardless. And that's really one of the things that we just have to bring out is the fact that, yeah, you're going through these things and these affirmations and just the arrogancy of it all. Am I going to sit down and tell the Most High God in heaven, I have a healthy body, spirit, and mind? I have a healthy body, spirit, and mind. No. Thank you, Lord in heaven, through the power of Jesus Christ, for blessing me with a healthy body, spirit, and mind. Because guess what? Those are gifts that can be taken away at any moment.
Yep.
But that's something that we understand, that we hope that the people listening also understand. So when you look at that whole thing about, oh, we're going to use the power of the mind, and the mind is going to conquer the evils within us, the mind is going to conquer the evil. First of all, the scriptures already tell you that your mind itself is evil. Your mind can't help you conquer sin. Your mind is sin itself.
Right.
And the scriptures confirm that in the book of Mark. I'm going to go to the book of Mark chapter 7, and I'm going to read verses 21 through 23. And this is the words of Jesus Christ again. And it says, "For from within, out of the hearts of men, proceed evil thoughts." So let's stop right there. The scripture says, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. So we already know. Do thoughts come out of your heart that's in your chest that's pumping blood?
No.
No, of course not.
So when the scripture,
exactly. When the scriptures are speaking about out of the heart, out of the heart, out of the heart, it's talking about your mind. So let's see what the Lord Jesus Christ said was in your mind. This is Mark chapter 7, verse 21 again. "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." So when you're dealing with the so-called power of the mind, at least know what you're dealing with. Because when you're talking about the power of mind, we're not talking about anything righteous. We're not talking about anything that's bringing us closer to the Heavenly Father in Christ. We're talking about you going further and further into your own madness. That's why those last three are so powerful: blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. And when I listen to that, I listen to those affirmations about, oh, I have all the health and wealth, and money comes to me easily and freely, or as I want it and as I desire it, and all these things. That's blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. Why? Because these are things that the Most High bless you with. But instead you say, no, I'm commanding the universe to bring it to me. That's witchcraft. That's madness.
I want to read this scripture.
Go ahead.
This is Jeremiah 9. I'll start from 22. It says, "Speak, thus saith the Lord, even the carcasses of men shall fall as dung upon the open field, and as the handful after the harvest man, and none shall gather them. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth, glorieth in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." So it's the Most High. It's not you yourself. If you're rich, if you're strong, if you have wisdom, then you're not supposed to in glory that you're wise or that you're rich. I got this. This is because of me. You're supposed to glory in that you know the Lord, and all things come from him.
Exactly. Exactly. And so when you look at that and understand that it's not the power of the mind, I mean, even when you read in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the Lord tells you about your heart once again, where it says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But we do have times when things afflict us. Lord knows, Gadiel and me and you, we speak about things that bother us all the time. We might be going through hard times. We might be going through financial hardships. We might be going through problems with our families. We might be going through problems with our friends. We might be going through problems among false brethren, and all the things that come from being in the body of Christ.
Right.
But, I mean, you read the epistles of Paul. He spoke about all those problems. But we understand that the Lord is with us through it all. So we're not looking for a carnal escape from the things that afflict our mind. Instead, we take that as an opportunity to grow stronger by it. When you read the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter gives an admonishment to all the believers, and I think it's very well placed even with us today. And this is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. And he says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So when he's telling you to gird up the loins of your mind, he's telling you to put your armor on. Put on the whole armor of Christ. Gird yourself up and prepare your mind for a battle. Prepare your mind for a fight. But when he says, gird up the loins of your mind, then he goes on and says what? Be sober. What is that? It means to be clear-minded, be vigilant, be aware of the things that are going on. Be aware of the wickedness and the sin that's around you. Don't be an idiot. Don't be somebody that can't see it until it's too late. As people that are exercising the scriptures, we're supposed to be able to see the wickedness afar off and avoid it.
Right, the subtle evils that people are doing and tricks that people are playing. When we say people, we're referring to Satan, and Satan is using people to, you know, manipulate people to go into sin and to make it appear like they're not doing anything wrong. And what it is bringing destruction and death on people. Even exactly. People think that they're doing something like that clip, you know, here's a program, I can play this program and it's gonna help me and improve me in my life. A lot of things that are satanically inspired have the illusion that is going to help you and make you prosper, but it's secretly destroying you.
Exactly. And that's why it is subtle. So in 1 Peter 1 and 13, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversations, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." So no, we're not supposed to be engaging in all the same foolishness that we did in our ignorance, which means that the ignorance, the things that we've done in our ignorance, the things that I've done in my ignorance, using witchcraft and all of these other influences to dominate the minds of the people around me, to manipulate them, to deceive them, to take advantage of them, those things I can't do anymore.
Right.
And so I think this is a good time to take our first break for tonight. And when we come back, we're going to be going over some more things that people do, because right now they're even using this same process of mind control and hypnotism in dealing with their very own children. So that's what we're going to be touching on when we come back.
To listen to all our programs on Blog Talk Radio. These programs are meant to edify the listener regarding repentance and good works according to the Holy Scriptures. The weekly program schedule is Sunday at 2 p.m., Tuesday at 8 p.m., Wednesday at 7 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m., and Saturday at 9 a.m., all Eastern Standard Time. Our Spanish broadcast is at 11:30 a.m., Eastern Standard Time, each Saturday at blogtalkradio.com/ICDC. Please accept our invitation to call in to our show at 646-716-7736. 1-800-324-9. Your comments or questions are eagerly encouraged, whether they agree or disagree with the viewpoints expressed by those involved in the program. Again, call in now, please dial 646-716-7749.
If you would like to contact us or learn more about the Body of Christ Church, you may do so by calling, emailing, or by visiting our website. Our telephone number is 1-877-871-1712. Our email address is bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Ureach is the letter U, followed by the word reach. So that's bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Our website, thedocc.com, contains our telephone number and email address, as well as audio and video biblical lessons and other information geared toward edification and repentance and good works. Again, our website address is thedocc.com, so please feel free to connect with us today.
Brothers from the Body of Christ Church welcome you to listen to our show, Are You Smarter Than Your Pastor?, airing every Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. In these difficult times, we often look to spiritual leaders for guidance and instruction in our lives. As Christians, followers of Christ, should these leaders speak from their mind or from what is written based on the Word of God? This show will examine things said by men and women claiming to be God's ministers to reveal whether or not they are speaking God's word and doing His will. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We hope you tune in and listen to our show. Thank you.
Some people want to be saved, but they don't know how to be saved. And when they go to church, they don't listen to what the preacher says.
In today's world, people have been deceived, and their minds have been polluted by the doctrine of devils and many tools of Satan. When people are confronted with the true word of God, it is very difficult for them to handle. John 8:32 reads, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Come and join the Body of Christ Church every Monday at 8 p.m. as the true word of God is rightly divided for the edification of the church. And ask yourself this question: can you handle the truth?
Okay, can you handle the truth? We're back.
Yes, indeed.
And the question is, has a spell been put on you? Either through your pastor, teacher, witch? I think that's what we're going to talk about. Teachers being hypnotists. And before we go into that, I just want to thank everyone that has called in. Everyone that's in the chat room, Blue Fire Witch, Kakum Gabar, Dawad, Eggs of Babylon, our guest, Harbingers, Nathaniel Essex, Pammy Whammy. So we're going to give it back to our brother, Akrai.
Yes, indeed. Well, So looking at the things that we're going through, I guess the name of this show could have been Can You Handle the Truth? The chat room looking pretty entertaining right about now. But back to what we were going over prior to the break, we were talking about how other people have tried to take that same tactic of using this mind control and hypnotism to try to defeat devices in their life and to get rid of the things that they don't like about themselves or the things that may be truly sinful, according to the scriptures.
Right.
But there's even a recent case which happened earlier this year where a principal of a high school was brought into scrutiny and almost lost his job because he's a professional hypnotist, so-called. And there are some people who in his school who were students who actually killed themselves, committed suicide sometime after his sessions. One of them it was several months prior to, and one of the people that he hypnotized literally killed themselves the next day. So I want to go into a little bit dealing with that story right now before we go into the things going into the church itself.
And
so let's
Before I play that clip, you know, was very interesting to me. You know, I was looking at a documentary, and it was talking about how people got introduced into Satanism. Maybe they had different powers, and they were doing witchcraft, and then they got introduced into Satanism.
Yes,
and one of the things that was a common theme amongst all these people, at some point, spirits or voices in their head start telling them to kill themselves. And they got strong urges to kill themselves. So we know hypnotism, mesmerism, all these things are a gateway to Satanism. It's Satanism itself. So it's no surprise that people would go and kill themselves. So here's a clip.
Right.
We're learning more about a high school principal in Florida who hypnotized his students. Three later died, two after committing suicide. School board documents now reveal that Principal George Kenny ignored requests from his superiors to stop the hypnosis sessions, even misled investigators. ABC's Matt Gutman has more now from Sarasota.
Good Morning America tracked down the very first student Kenny ever treated.
After the hypnosis, my score went up by 500 points. 500 points
in the SATs.
Yes, sir.
Eric Williams, now 20, revealed he'd been hypnotized dozens of times, many of them in private sessions, and it wasn't just to improve his grades.
He told me if I ever wanted to get in a car with somebody who was drunk or under the influence of alcohol, I would immediately throw up.
You feel physically ill?
Physically ill.
And that little bit of programming lasts years. Kenny was open about his work, even advertising it on Amazon.
You will be going into a deep hypnotic trance. Although we call it sleep, you will actually be very aware of everything that happens.
Star runner Josh Lang had torn his quadricep.
It actually worked out. I was able to run and slowly went away.
So it helped you?
Yeah, definitely.
None of that, they say, could possibly be connected to the deaths of their friends.
They just try to pick someone to blame it on. And I don't think he deserves it at all.
Kenny's attorney insists that his client has done nothing wrong, that in fact, so many students rallied on Kenny's behalf ahead of graduation that after reassigning him, the school board relented and allowed Kenny to shake his students' hands. But we wondered, even if he had only the best intentions for these students, was Kenny endangering them?
I don't think suicide happened because he was hypnotized. It's a matter of how it's used, and it can be hypnosis, like anything else, if there's a lack of assessment, it can have repercussions.
Now, Josh, few parents here actually believe that Principal Kenny's hypnosis sessions contributed to those three deaths, but what continues to gnaw at them is what they don't know about those hypnosis sessions and the fact that Kenny continued to hypnotize students even after being asked to stop.
Wow. So he continued to do it after he was asked to stop, so...
And interestingly enough, he even continued to do it after the death of the first. So the thing is, if you're going to try to take it to a court of law and say that one was directly the result of the other, you more than likely wouldn't be able to prove that. But for a person like myself who had that extensive experience in really, really delving into that realm of messing with people's minds like that, you wouldn't, it's hard to really relay to someone who has not seen it or experienced it just how much power and influence you can have over a person to the point where you could even use a wrong choice of words and it could be fatal. And when you're dealing with people that already had fragile minds, because keep in mind, the people who were coming to him are people that had all type of problems. So we're not saying that he made them suicidal. No, they already had those demons on them. But when you look at the scriptures, you can't cure demons with witchcraft. What do you have to do? You have to deal with the scriptures. When you look in the scriptures, there were people who considered themselves exorcists who tried to cast out a demon in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm laughing because I think that the people who know the scriptures know how that story ended. Do you remember that Gadai one?
Yeah. He got whooped, beat up, ran out butt naked.
So when you look at that, that reminds you of the sons of Sceva. So it tells you that they were beaten to the point where their clothes came off their body because they tried to cast out a demon in the name of Jesus Christ, and of course they didn't have the authority to do that. Right. And it's so interesting because you look at these cases right now. And that, for the people that wanted to know, that's in the book of Acts chapter 19, verse 16. And I'll just read the part where the demon actually attacked the men. It says, I'll read up above for the point. Verse 14. This is Acts chapter 19, verse 14. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. Verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them that had an evil spirit the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and the chief priest which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Mm. So the whole point is, you're not going around talking about, "I'm going to cast a spell or do some witchcraft or enchantment or divination to drive out Satan," because Satan is not casting out Satan. The same way the Lord Jesus already explained, if Satan casts out Satan, his whole kingdom would be destroyed. So you're not going to take these children that have all these demons on them, who have these spirits on them of suicide and depression and all type of anxiety, and do witchcraft on them to cure them of their afflictions. And when you look at the ones that died, whether or not he was directly responsible is irrelevant. The point is that his influence in their lives, that's the price you have to pay if you want to go that route. That's a price to pay.
Hmm.
So when you look at the scriptures, are we supposed to be trying to hypnotize and mesmerize our children into keeping the commandments? Or are we just supposed to be teaching them?
We're supposed to be teaching them daily. Showing them what's right and what's wrong as we experience life, not a daily affirmation. I told you not to do it. I told you not to do it. I told you. And that doesn't work. You see people, "Johnny, stop it. Johnny, stop. Johnny, stop it. Stop it. Stop it." That doesn't work. Children, you're like, "You know what? You're crazy. I'm going to keep playing with this toy because you're nuts." Where you start, hey, you give a little smack on the hand and say, "Look, you're not supposed to do such and such." Then it may be something else that they're doing. And you explain to them and show them. And then, you know, after time, they grow and they learn.
So when you look at the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 6, it says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." So you don't have to sit teenagers down and try to mesmerize them and have them counting backwards and going to sleep to try to get rid of the demons that they have, or to teach them good habits. Because even in the clip, what happened? The young man said, oh, well, after I got hypnotized, my test scores went up, and he hypnotized me so that if I tried to get in the car with somebody that I knew was driving drunk and was under the influence, I would just get physically sick and throw up. So what is that about? I mean, if you have a child and you're raising them up in the way that he should go and you're training him like the scripture says, then you're not gonna have to turn around and say, okay, I'm gonna do a mind trick on you to make sure that you do the right thing when you're out of my area of influence. You're not gonna have to do that. When you read the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So when it talks about the fathers bringing up the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it means that they're teaching them and instructing them on how to be better servants of the Most High. That means that you're going to tell your kids, you're not going to be out there smoking and drinking excessively and doing all these things that teenagers do. You're not going to be involved in illicit sex. You're not going to be doing all of those things that's out there. You're not going to have to sit back and hypnotize your daughter if you are about to get into a car with a boy and about to have sex. All of a sudden you're going to vomit. No, that's foolishness. That's foolishness. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to raise them up in the way that they should go. That's the answer. So that is where the power is. The power is in the words of the Most High. Anything else, and you taking another route, you're going to get some pretty damning results. And it's not a better choice of words, because those results are going to be damning to yourself and to your children.
Right. And your children are going to make a choice whether to do right or do wrong. And the scriptures tell you that. You know, they're going to show whether their heart is pure. They're going to show what way they're following. Either they're following the righteousness of the Most High according to the scriptures, or they're going to follow their own heart and do what that foolishness that's in their heart that's telling them to do.
Exactly. So that's why you read in the book of Exodus chapter 22, verse 18, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. And the reason why you read in the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 23, where it tells you, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So all of those things are there for a reason in the scriptures, letting you know what the danger is. You can't go into these things and not be untouched. You can't take these sins upon you and not be unpunished. And the punishment comes in forms that you don't expect. So when you look at how it was manifested through things that are online, through self-help books, through videotapes, through audio tapes, and all of these things that are coming over the internet and you can buy and order, it's rampant in this world. Then to show you that it's even in the school system. And of course there are people who are like the people that you see on talk shows and things like that. But what's happening now is that it's gone further, and a lot of this, the last frontier, is really the so-called Christian churches. And I say so-called Christian churches because they're not following Christ, because they're bringing in all of these techniques that have been around since the dawn of time. There's a person, a hypnotist by the name of Stephen Pilari, who by his own saying is a master hypnotist. And he wrote an article on the art of covert hypnosis. And as you might wonder what that means, when it talks about covert hypnosis, it means just what it says, that it's hypnotizing you without you knowing. And so when you look at how his methods are, basically teaching people how to hypnotize others without them being aware of it. So you might have seen things on TV like there's shows like Beyond Belief, and there's other shows with Derwin Brown, who is a mentalist, and he just walks out on the street and grasp people up and hypnotizes them to do crazy things. They might take money out of their bank account and throw it in the garbage, or he might walk in the store and buy a whole bag of groceries and give the person a blank slip of paper as a dollar bill, and they accept it because he's given them those mental suggestions the whole time he's speaking to them. And I even saw it on TV. I'm looking at him, and I'm laughing because I know that a lot of people think that it's like staged or fake or things like that. But as a person of myself who had that those sins in my background, I know what it's like to be able to do that type of mesmerism to people based on their mental state. You know, there was, and like I said, you'd really be surprised at the things you can pull off if you have people in the right state of mind, things that you wouldn't even think are possible. I mean, I've stood in rooms with 15 people and walked in and spoke to people and walked back out without anybody else seeing me just because I didn't want them to see me. And that's the type of things you can do. It's outlandish. It's outlandish, the things you can do when you're a mentalist. So one of the things that this particular hypnotist, Stephen Pilari, wrote about on his website when he spoke about covert hypnosis was the techniques in this society, and he even went into how it came into the churches. And I'll read an excerpt from his website. It says, "You'd be surprised how many people use these techniques and just how many members of this secret society are out there. Illusionists, psychics, spiritualists, mediums, master hypnosis, even faith healers have been using many of these methods for more than a century, and many of the famous ones you see on TV are more well-connected than you might think. Mentalism is the art of creating false realities, causing people to believe anything you tell them. If you've seen some of these great psychics or illusionists and entertainers on TV, then you'll know just how powerful these false realities can be. But what about the faith healers you see on TV? Would you believe me if I told you that they use mentalism techniques as well? It's a scary thought, and within my course, I explain exactly how anyone, including you, can create false realities through the techniques used in mentalism." So that's an excerpt from his website. And it just goes right into how alluring that sin is. They make it sound like, I'm going to teach you how to be a superhero. I'm going to teach you how to take control of the minds of people around you. I'm going to teach you all these things. But really, what are they doing? They're luring you into that same world that the Brother Godiwin talked about. How Godiwin went into how it was always something somewhere that was your start in it. Something that was going to bring you down into that madness. And with me, I went through it. I had people that tried to bring me into it, and unfortunately, they were successful. And I lament that for all my times, but I am thankful to the Most High for that opportunity of repentance. But it was a hard struggle. It was a hard struggle to get away from that. So when you look at what this man was speaking about as far as the church is concerned, I know that what he's saying is true because many of the people that I ran into that were dealing with the power of Satan and dealing with the left-hand side and dealing with that knowledge of wickedness, many of the people that I encountered that were dealing with that wickedness were in the churches. So can you imagine, for myself, being a young man at the time, probably in my early, not even 20 years old, I was in my late teens, and I was replete, full of that satanic energy because I was a high practitioner at that time. And I'm on college campuses, and I would run into professors and doctors of philosophy, and I'm looking at these men, and I'm like, something's not right. They're like me, but they're stronger. So even when I ran into other students that also had those abilities, they were being taught by the teachers on campus. And a lot of those teachers on campus were also members of clergy. So it's not a surprise to me when I hear somebody writing an article saying, when I hear somebody writing an article saying, wow, well, you wouldn't believe me, but it's in the church. Of course it's in the church. That's where it's most rampant at, in the church. So what we're going to do is we're going to take our second break for tonight, and when we come back, what we're going to go over is some of the things that happen in the church regarding faith healing and how they use the power of hypnotism and mesmerism on their congregation.
Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
We're learning more about high school.
We'll be right back.
If you'd like to hear more programming about what the Bible says, please go to WUFOAM.com every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. and click on the Listen Live link. Thank you.
People murdering, killing in this society. Bodies are falling on every single side of me. Rapists are running rampant, so what a drug addict. We're living in the last days of the final madness. Teenage mothers giving birth to rebellious children. Rebellious children hate their brothers, and then they kill them. War, earthquake, famine, pestilence, evidence. That it's high time to awake out of your sleeping state before Christ returns to set these wicked demons straight. So tune in to blogtalkradio.com. Don't be alarmed. Listen closely, and there's one thing you will see. To get your life right, repentance is the key.
Tune in to Repentance is the Key at 7:05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Friday to learn more about repentance and Christ. Religion is not the answer. The Bible, the Heavenly Father, and Christ is the answer. So tune in. Shalom.
All praise to the Most High and Son Christ. For those that live in the NYC in Manhattan, we have a show that airs every Friday at 3:30 on Time Warner Cable, Channel 57.
Okay, we're back. From darkness to light. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Hypnotist and mentalist. That's what we're talking about tonight. I'd like to thank everyone that has called into the show, everyone that's in the chat room that's joining us. And if you want to call in, we will take your call. The call-in number is 646-716-7749. That number again is 646-716-7749. And we see we have an interesting array of people in our chat room. We have Blue Fire Witch, you know, who's being very respectful. And just a question for Blue Fire Witch: are you a practicing witch? It's a question for you. Okay, and we'd be very interested for you to call in and have a chat with you and see what you have to say about this mentalist and hypnotist. Or you're a mentalist, or you're a hypnotist. That would be something very interesting we'd like to be able to talk to you about and see what you have to say. Okay, Akrai, back to you, brother.
All right, so as we were going through, the last thing we said we were going to speak about was really going into how this really came into the churches and some of the common things that they're doing in the churches that people really, really wouldn't be aware of. And one of the things we want to talk about is one of the sins that is written about in the scriptures in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 10. And what it says is, there shall not be found any among you, anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. So that was a pretty extensive list, right?
Yes.
So one of the beautiful things about the way the scriptures are written
it's written in such a way that any type of this wickedness that you're into, whatever branch, because the same way you have thousands of denominations that are in the world, even though the scriptures tell you there's no such thing as denominations or religion for that matter, it's pretty much the same way when you're dealing with the powers of Satan. It's compartmentalized, very compartmentalized. So there are some people who might consider themselves a necromancer. I deal with the powers of the dead, and I deal with speaking with controlling the dead. Or as other people might say, I have a familiar spirit, which is a spirit that's of divination that falls upon the person. But out of that list, the one I want to deal with is enchanter. And that's one that doesn't come out a lot. How many times have we done shows and say, you know what, I want to talk about enchanters?
Not much.
Not many times, right? Because a lot of times, you know, witches get all the fame. So, you know, the witches, everybody knows about witchcraft. They know about Wiccan. They know about sorcerers and things like that. But today we're going to talk about the enchanters. If you went to dictionary.com and looked up the word enchant, you'd find a few definitions. But I'm going to read the most applicable definition. The word enchant. And when I read this definition, Godwin, I promise you, you're going to think of a part of the history of the scriptures that happened to the apostles. Enchant, to cast a spell on, bewitch, to delight or captivate utterly, fascinate, charm. So when you hear that definition, to cast a spell on or bewitch, what comes to your mind? Oh, I thought you were going to get it. You're probably on mute, bro. But I'll answer it for you.
Yeah, there's one that comes to mind about the site. I was on mute. There's one that comes to mind about the disciples, where there was a guy and he was asking for the power of the Holy Spirit. Is that the one?
Exactly. That's in the book of Acts, chapter 8. And we're going to make a quick detour and read that. This is the book of Acts, chapter 8. And I'll start at verse 9, and I'm going to read verse 9 through 11. It says, "But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that a long time he had bewitched them with his sorceries." So when you look at the definition, to cast a spell on, to bewitch, to delight or captivate utterly, to fascinate, to charm, now you understand why he was able to do that, why they were looking at him as if he was the great power of God. And when people say great power of God, they were basically looking at him and saying he was the Christ. He was the Christ. He's the great power of God. But we understand that he was a sorcerer. He was a witch. And he was using his abilities and powers to bewitch the congregations that he had. And the reason why I like that, I love that scripture, is because a lot of times what happens is that people look at the things that are going on in today's world as if it had never happened before in the history of the world. So there are people that come out and say, like, oh, I'm a hypnotist. Oh, I'm a I practice mesmerism. Oh, I practice self-hypnosis. Oh, I train people in hypnosis. But because they're not using the ancient names, you say, oh, well, that's interesting. That's something new. Oh, I like the sound of that. But what are they? They're a charmer. They're an enchanter. So if we call it by their biblical names, then you see that even then they were still committing sins that were worthy of death. So you're not going to escape the wrath of the Most High just because you call it by a different name. So a lot of these people that practice mesmerism are ones that actually go forth and perform those phony miracles in the churches where you see people come up and they grab them and they put their hands on them and they do a ritual, and the next thing you know, they're just throwing canes away, I can see now, or things like that. So there's a person who you're familiar with, Godwin, and who a lot of people might be familiar with, a gentleman by the name of Derren Brown, and he's pretty much considered one of the most popular or powerful mesmerists, hypnotists or slash mesmerists, mentalists in the whole world. So what he did was a series called Miracles for Sale, and it's an interesting documentary where he went through the customs that a lot of these churches do as far as their faith healing ceremonies and showed how a lot of it is just going into scandal, deceit, and madness. So if you would, let's go into that clip. It's about a four-plus-minute clip, but I didn't want to cut it down because I wanted the clip in its entirety when he went into the points he was bringing out. I think it's really good. So let's take a listen to that one.
Okay. While I play that clip, I want you to have a look at the chat room, too, see if we can come back and have some conversations about that as well.
Sure.
You are about to see a world where greed and deceit raise their ugly heads, where lives have been needlessly lost, and where hope, the most precious gift of all, is peddled at a price. This is the wickedness in the world of faith healing. And tonight, I take an ordinary man and attempt to turn him into a faith healer, putting him on stage in Texas, the heart of the Bible Belt, where he must convince an audience of staunch believers that he's capable of performing miracles before their very eyes. Welcome to the show.
You know that these people are being abused or mistreated because of their faith. It's disgusting. So I feel responsible to doing this job as well as possible.
We've researched the major miracles that faith healers perform, and now I want to show Nathan what I believe lies behind them. Today you are going to witness the miraculous. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, limbs will grow out. These are faith healing miracles, and I'm going to show you how to perform them.
Just take these hearing aids out.
You foul spirit of deafness, take your hands off this woman in Jesus' name.
How do I sound now? No, now.
Here is a popular miracle of making the deaf hear. I'm going to demonstrate this and some other miracles exactly as they might be presented at a faith healing event like the one you can see here.
And now you can hear? Yes.
The people you see being healed at these events are selected by the faith healer's team, the catchers, who bring them up on stage to present them to the healer.
Derren, this lady's been deaf since birth.
All of our volunteers have genuine registered disabilities. I've merely asked them to respond completely honestly and imagine they were at a real event with an audience. You can lip read? Okay. This woman has been deaf since she was born. She doesn't know what it is to hear. So you can read my lips. So I'm going to turn away and say a word. 27. Nope, she can't hear. She needs to lip read to hear what I'm saying. Let's heal these ears. She hasn't heard a word for 39 years. Without lip reading, she doesn't know what I'm saying to her. Heal this woman. Restore her hearing. I hate those devils of deafness. I hate those devils of deafness, and I cast them out now. I command this hearing to be restored. To be restored now. How many clicks? Three. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
She's no longer lip reading. A miracle seems to have happened. But before I explain this, let's see another one, this time with someone who's registered blind.
Ian.
Mm-hmm.
He's been blind since birth.
Blind since birth. And how old are you now, Ian?
46.
This man is 46. He has been blind since birth. This man has never been able to see. He doesn't know what it's even like to be able to see. Take a step forward for me. Let's start praying. Father, I command those devils of blindness to come out of this man. I command in Jesus' name those devils of blindness to leave this man in Jesus' holy name. Spirit, fall upon this man. Heal this man. Bring him back up. Bring him back up. Come forward. Father, open this man's eyes. Ian? How many fingers am I holding up? Tell me how many fingers. Two.
He sees! Lord be praised if man sees. Ian, I've got a handkerchief. Take the handkerchief from me. Take it from me. Follow me around. Come on, follow me around. Somebody praise the Lord. This man can see. His sight is restored. These are the miracles. Who believes in miracles?
He's been healed from blindness, but let's go back to Sophie and find out a little more. Have I just really healed you of deafness?
No.
You are moderately deaf, essentially hearing impaired.
Hmm.
Yes. You can't really hear if I, without your hearing aid, if I face the other way.
No.
But all the clicks and everything you can hear anyway.
Yeah.
And you're not healed because, well, nothing has changed.
Mm-hmm.
In a similar way, although Ian has genuinely been blind since birth, like most registered blind people, he has some impaired vision. And with the right lighting, he can see blurred shapes and colours, enough to see the number of fingers I was holding against my dark jacket. Tell me how many fingers. Enough to see my bright handkerchief. And of course, his hearing helps him follow me around the room.
Follow me around. Come on, follow me around.
Both of these major miracles are created by allowing the audience to be misled about the extent of someone's real condition, then presenting things they can already do as evidence of change, when actually they're just the same as they were before.
Wow. Right, so that was an interesting demonstration. But even though he went into the whole fact about the mesmerism that he did on them and how he did the entire proof of it, and if you wanted to see that in its entirety, he did a documentary which you can find online, Miracles for Sale. And although it was very non-theatrical when he did it for the purposes of demonstration, what you have to understand is that in a church setting, what's going to be going on? People are going to be jumping up. They're going to be hollering. They're going to be shouting. They're going to be falling out. There are going to be people throwing canes down and things like that. And it's the whole experience of it all is what creates the mesmeric effect, if you will. Because when you look at what mesmerism is, by definition, was creating that false reality for people. So if you're in that church and you see somebody come off the stage, could die one, who was blind, or you thought they were blind and now they can see, or they were deaf and now they can hear, and everybody's doing what they do in the church, they're holding hands and they're singing the songs together and doing all those things, what is that about? It's about creating that whole atmosphere, the same way you see in the churches where they do that repetition, hold the hand of the person next to you. Now I want you to say this. Now I want you to turn around and say that. What's that all about? It's about creating that whole atmosphere that gives the finishing touches that sends you over the edge. And now you're looking at this person on stage as if they're the great power of God. The same way Simon the sorcerer did what? Bewitched the people with his sorceries and his enchantments.
Yep.
No different. So looking at how that whole thing is used, about bringing people in and bringing them in and hitting them with that information, and then all of a sudden, bringing them to your reality. That's also a term called hypnotic bait and switch. And you might be familiar with the term bait and switch, like when you talk about somebody selling a car, where they say they're going to sell you one thing and then you get there and it's something else. And bait and switches are actually against the law. But let's play a clip on a pastor actually explaining what that hypnotic bait and switch is. And we're just going to play the first clip. It's pretty short because I want to go right back into the scriptures explaining how it's used in the churches.
Okay. Bait and switch.
Here's another example. Let's first read Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 through 50. And Jesus is speaking there. Notice what he says. He gives the illustration of the dragnet. There it says, "Again, the kingdom of the heavens is like a dragnet let down into the sea and gathering up fish of every kind. When it got full, they hauled it up onto the beach, and sitting down, they collected the fine ones into vessels, but the unsuitable they threw away. That is how it will be in the conclusion of the system of things. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from among the righteous and will cast them into a fiery furnace." Do you have that clear? The angels will do the separating of the righteous from the unrighteous. But notice what the unknown
hidden, discreet author of the July 15, 2008 Watchtower Magazine Study Edition article has to say under the subheading Dragnet. Literally millions of symbolic fish from the Sea of Humanity have been attracted to Jehovah's congregation in modern times. Some attend the memorial, others come to our meetings, and still others are happy to study the Bible. But do all these prove to be genuine Christians? They may be hauled up onto the beach, but Jesus tells us that only the fine ones are gathered into vessels which represent Christian congregations. So did you notice that the author gives several points that really can't be refuted? The literal millions of symbolic fish are attracted to what Jehovah's Witnesses call God's congregation in modern times. Well, that statement is relatively true, just like fish are attracted to fishing lures. Some attend the memorial, others come to our meeting. This is a propaganda technique called hypnotic bait and switch. What hypnotic bait and switch is where there are several points of truthful information given in rapid succession, which tricks the critical center of the conscious mind into accepting more information as truthful, allowing it into the subconscious part of the mind, even when it may not necessarily be truthful at all. Notice the following paragraph. The American nation is at war. The economy is hurting badly. Many Americans are unemployed. Change is desperately needed. John Doe is your man. Vote John Doe for president. Well, what happened here? Well, there were several points of truthful information. The nation is at war. The economy is hurting badly. Many Americans are unemployed, and change is desperately needed. But is John Doe necessarily your man? Well, that's a hypothetical statement, but that's how hypnotic bait and switch works. Several points of truthful information are given, allowing your conscious mind to relax, and then allowing a hypothetical statement such as this into your subconscious mind, which easily then is also accepted as true for many people.
Okay. So when you look at that, when it goes into the whole concept of the bait and switch, it was saying that they will bring out things that might be true, but it was only to the intent that it comes right behind that with something that has nothing to do with the scriptures and something that is definitely has nothing to do with your salvation. So when you look at, like, the preachers in the world today, they might come out and say, oh, well, you're having problems at home, or you're having problems with your wife, and you don't know what you're going to do about the job, and which all those things may be true. But then they turn around and say, well, just give $100 today, and the Lord is going to bless you. Where did that come from? Where did that come from? All that is hypnotic bait and switch, where they're using that power of hypnosis to bring out one thing so they can lure you right into another. They're telling you at least two or three things that's true about yourself. Then they're telling you a false divination according to the scriptures that's going to be a way for you to get out of it. So that is a practice that's so commonly used that it's in, like, every single church, every single sermon that you probably ever heard. So that's the reason why the Lord is so adamant about the ones that are an enchanter or the ones that are a witch to be dealt with, because they're going to bring that sorceries and that enchantment into the congregation and deceive the hearts of the simple. And it happens all the time. So I think that I'm going to stop dealing with that for now. As a matter of fact, I think that's a good place where we could end as far as that's concerned. But I see that a lot of people are going back and forth in the chat room, so I'll address a few things before we close the show out. And the first thing I'd like to say is, you know, we're thankful that a lot of people have come to the chat room today. We thank all of the people that have come in as guests. And, you know, one of the things that we say, and I repeat it all the time when we have guests into the chat room, is when you listen to our commercials, one of the things that we say is that we invite everybody to listen to the show, whether they agree or disagree with the viewpoints in the program. And that statement is very true. And as far as Blue Fire Witch is concerned, we thank you for coming to visit the show, and we thank you for sharing your perspectives and your point of view. one of the things that we appreciate about that is the fact that when we do this show, like when we do any of the shows, we do it for the people who are out there in the world who may be listening, who may be involved in lifestyles that are contrary to the scriptures, for the purpose of letting them hear the words of the Lord, whether they will hear it and understand it, or whether they will hear it and in the future it might take root. And for a person like myself, who had a background dealing with witchcraft, dealing with all of its various different forms, with almost every single form that we just listed in the scriptures. So that's really why this was going out, because we do know that a lot of times you can go on a so-called Christian site or listen to it, and next thing you know, people are railing and screaming, things like that. That's not what the case is. One of the things that I did notice that you put in the chat room was a really interesting point where you spoke about the gods that have been around long before Christianity. And that is true to a large extent. And the reason why that's true is because a lot of people don't understand that Christianity, as it's called today, was never meant to be a religion. That's the wickedness that happened in the world, where people took the word of God and made religions based on it. But when you read the Bible itself, it was never meant to be something that was compartmentalized into religions or denominations or anything like that. When you read in the scriptures from the beginning forward, there was a time when our forefather Abraham dwelled in the land of Ur of the Chaldees, which you should be very familiar with. And in that land, there were many other gods and many other worse forms of worship in the land. But our forefather Abraham was called out of those lands by the one true God and shown everything that was going to take place with his people. And from his lineage, that's where the Israelites come from. Even when you look at the prophet Moses, how he told us all things that happened from the beginning and how it went forward. When you read in the book of Joshua, and I'll read this, and this is a really important point to what you said about the gods that were around prior to Christianity. This is the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 15. And this is when Joshua was admonishing the people in the land that they had to continue to serve the Lord and not go back into serving the wickedness that they were serving prior to learning of the Heavenly Father and Christ. So this is Joshua 24 and 15. And he says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the reason why Joshua had to say that, it wasn't an acknowledgement of other gods or saying that there was other gods, because according to the scriptures, there was only one, which is the Heavenly Father. So there was no polytheism, there was monotheism. There was only one God, which was the Heavenly Father. And when you look at what Joshua was saying, when he said that you have to decide this day who you're going to serve, if you're going to serve the Heavenly Father or if you're going to serve the gods that were on the other side of the flood. So what did he mean by that? What he was letting the Israelites know is that there was a time when the world was so wicked and covered in so much madness and sin that the Heavenly Father had to send a flood to destroy the old world. So with that old world were destroyed all the idols, all the temples, all the priests and prophets of the other gods. But despite that, Joshua still had to warn the people that when it comes time for us to serve the Heavenly Father in our land, make sure that we don't go back to serving the other gods that existed prior to that destruction. That's the reason why in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 4, it says, "For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens." So when you look at how he was explaining it, yes, there were gods of wood and stone that the people were worshiping and following, but there was only one who had made the heavens. And even to the point about the worship of nature and things of that of things that you can see. The Heavenly Father also admonished us when we came out of Egypt that those were things that we had to avoid. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, and I'll start at verse 15, this is the warning that Moses gave to the people. It says, "Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on earth, or the likeness of any winged fowl that flies in the air, the likeness of any creeping, anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth, and lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven." So when you left your comments, you shared a bit of interesting knowledge as far as Hellenistic polytheism, because that movement is, I'm familiar with that movement, and if I'm not mistaken, one of the reasons why they formed was because of the lack of authenticity among other movements like the Wiccans. And with that movement, they brought back a lot of the Greek gods from that pantheon and brought back a lot of the ways that they were worshipped in the past. You even read about some of those Greek gods and Roman gods in the scriptures. For example, when Paul was in the city of Ephesus and he had his encounter with the worshippers of Diana of Ephesus. An interesting note to that history is the fact that Alexander the coppersmith was far more interested in the money that he made from selling the idols than from anything as far as the ordinances of worshiping Diana. So I just brought up that point just to say that when we go over the scriptures, we do it with a sense of understanding where a lot of people's understanding is and why a lot of people believe the things they believe. And we believe also, through the Spirit of Christ, that that's the reason why a lot of us have the understanding and the backgrounds that we do have, is to be able to help people in the days that are now. So I'll share with you another scripture that helped me during the times when I had to come out of those very same practices in the past. And this is the book of Acts, and I'm going to Acts chapter 17, verse 30. And what it reads, this is Acts chapter 17, and I will start at verse 29. And it says, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device." So being that we are the children of the Heavenly Father, we know that our Heavenly Father is not an idol, and he's not graven by art and man's device. He's not made of stone or silver or gold or any of those things. And when you look at all the pantheons of the world, whether they be Greek, Roman, Egyptians, they were all idols. But then it goes on in verse 30, "And at the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised them from the dead." So now that we understand, or now that understanding is going forth into the world of who it is that we should be following, and the world is no longer ignorant of that fact, we have to learn of Jesus Christ. Now, the reason why a lot of people don't want to learn of him is because they've been deceived by many of the lies that have been told about him in this world. And so as far as people that are into paganism and witchcraft, really, one of the reasons why they reject Christianity as a whole is because the Christianity that's being practiced in this world is very, very similar to what they're already practicing. It's not many differences. But what we're dealing with right now is strictly the scriptures and the commandments through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord is letting us know that we have to, at the times of this ignorance, the Lord winked in our ignorance, but now he's commanding all men everywhere to repent. And that's what we have to deal with, repentance. So the topic that we went over tonight was dealing with hypnotism and mesmerism and how that age-old practice has become mainstream and it's become a practice that many people are bringing into their household through their books, self-help books, and things like the law of attraction, and also how, like many other sins, it has also infiltrated the Church of God and probably will remain there until the Lord Jesus comes back to destroy that wicked place. But once again, like we say, in the times of the ignorance, where people didn't know better, God winked at. But now we send out the word, letting all people everywhere know that it's time to repent.
It's a warning as well, because, yes, we're respectful, but we're given a warning from God that there is going to be a judgment for those that practice witchcraft or polytheism, or there's going to be a judgment from the Most High, and his wrath is evident, and it's coming on the earth, and it's going to happen more and more, and time's going to run out to when the day that Christ come back as a thief in the night, and then you're going to have to pay for the things that you've done in your body. So that's our sincere mission, is to bring this truth out to those that's being deceived and believe that witchcraft is harmless. It's not harmless. It's an abomination to the Most High. And those that are practicing these arts, whether you call it the light side or the right hand path, is still witchcraft, and the Most High is going to bring judgment on those that don't repent. So it's our sincere mission to bring the truth and to warn those and to let them know that if you don't repent of those things, then you will be judged from the Supreme God, because all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens.
So, to tell you the truth, we should end with the scripture that is the theme of this very show.
Right.
Acts chapter 26, verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's the mission of this show. So we pray that even if it's not a word that Blue Witch receives, that it's a word that many of the people who are out there who may be in the very same sins would receive. And that's our sincere hope.
Until next time, we say shalom.
Shalom.
If you've enjoyed today's program, join us next week for another installment of From Darkness to Light, airing every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also visit us on our website, www.thebocc.com, and our YouTube page, www.youtube.com/TheBOCC1. Once again, that address is www.thebocc.com and www.youtube.com/TheBOCC1. John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil.